Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new Getting Color right here on the Big Vito brand. I am Virtue, being joined by the man himself, Big Vito LaGrasso. What's up?
How's everybody out there? Had a fun weekend, guys. We did a little bit of golfing. We did a little bit of dining out. Played two sessions of pickleball today. One against the regular people. And then today, I actually stepped my game up. I was invited to play with the top-tier players in our development here, which was a big honor for me, being I only started playing pickleball this summer. And for me to play at that level and the speed, I was very, very happy. It made me very happy. And just to be invited and to play, everybody being cool and actually doing well with these people. I mean, I'm no pro, but I was very, very, very happy with my progress. It was great.
What exactly? What's pickleball? Is it a combo of tennis, badminton, and racquetball?
Yeah, tennis, ping pong, racquetball, smaller court. You got to have good reflexes. You got to know how to place the ball. Tom Brady just bought a pickleball team, so you know can't be all that bad. LeBron's looking to buy a pickleball team. But like I said, guys, I'm not nowhere near pro level, but this helped me in many ways to see where I'm at as far as trying to turn pro and go into tournaments. So if I keep playing with this group of people, specific group, my game will elevate that much more. So this way I could play. My wife is sitting there and I says, what a big difference from the first day I started to now. And she couldn't believe how quick my reflexes were and the back and forth. And just, it was great. It was an awesome day for me.
What happened to softball?
Softball I've been playing, you know, but it's like, no politics in wrestling. It's politics and bullshit softball.
I used to umpire softball, men's leagues.
And it's the good old boys network. And if you don't do for the club and you don't do this and you don't do that, hang out with the guys and do all this shit, it's like they don't let you in their little elevated clique. But we have an advanced league on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I play against the same guys. And I do exceptionally well. It's just for that little team. That's like, you know, you have, it's just a whole big political bullshit thing. And like, you know, I'd rather play the pickleball. I get more out of it. It's great exercise, keeps you in shape. I could play for hours, not get tired. And it's just a good thing. It's a good thing. I still play, you know, but the pickleball is like my main focus for exercise and keeping fit. And like I said, I could play for a couple hours at a time without getting tired or sitting down. So I'm good.
Iron Man. All right, Vito, ready to get into the topics.
Yes, Stan is in the house. Stan is in the house. Hello, Stan.
I'm going to start with what's on Vito's mind, and it's going to be somber because, as you know, Kevin Nash's son passed away, Tristan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't know the details. He was young. He was like 26.
26.
And he just lost – Scott just lost his – or Kevin lost his best friend, Scott, last year, less than a year ago. Right. Vito, wrestling guys, you know, this is what's on Vito's mind. Like, we've talked about deaths, and it sucks. I didn't know if you wanted to comment on this in general, but I just wanted to make sure, like, we pay our respects because Kevin Nash, one of the legends of the industry.
One thing people forget. Wrestlers are human beings also. And like I always say, everybody has ghetto in their house, right? And I mean, everybody's got something going on. When you look at Kevin Nash and you say his son passed away, nobody wants to bury a child. That's in nobody's line. Nobody wants to do this. I don't care how old they are. Nobody wants to have that barrenness or... From what I get, Kevin Nash was trying to help his son overcome some things. You know, I know Tristan was on the podcast with him doing podcasting, and he was trying to embrace him in, you know, different father-son things. And you know what, guys? Sometimes life throws you a shit ball once in a while, and this is probably one of the biggest shit balls you ever get when you have to bury one of your children. But what people don't understand is that wrestlers, they think like they have money, they have fame, they have fortune, they got cars, they got houses, they got this, they got that. But they also got their own family problems. They also have stuff in their house that they have to deal with. Not everything is a bed of sunshine and rainbows, you know what I mean? So I think for everybody out there, I think it's a good eye-opener that no matter how famous or not how good you think someone's life is, it's not always as good as you think. And there are always people worse off than you. So with that said, I hope that the Kevin Nash family takes their time to evaluate and get over this. There is really no getting over it, but life does go on. I don't know how fast it'll go on. I know Kevin Nash posted some a tribute to his son. So with that said, guys, remember, family first, wrestling second, whatever you do second, always take your family, always do what you got to do to upkeep your house and keep your house straight. This is probably the best advice I can give you.
Well said, and I just wanted to address that. So, Vito, okay. Moving on here, since we've done our last show, because we took last week off,
yes,
Bray Wyatt returned at the pay-per-view, and he was on a SmackDown since couple, you know, with some promos, and they're right. Really slow rolling this. He kind of came out as himself as part of the one of his characters, like just shooting from the heart. And you know they got something creepy going on with it. I just want – what do you think? Working – you know, you've been part of Raw and SmackDown before. Right. Where are they going to go with this? The Fiend character was cool when it first came out.
Okay.
A lot of creative differences between him and Vince. And ultimately, you know, the setting on fire, the jobbing to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. It just didn't click with the office. But guess who's gone now? And guess who's in charge? Triple H. What's going to happen this time around? I like the fact that at least part of it, he's giving you a window, something different. I've always said I like when you can see who the wrestlers, even if they're working it a little bit, you can still kind of see who they are. They're presenting right. Their real self to you a little bit. Take it away, because I'm intrigued by that. But I think they're still going to do the spooky, evil stuff too.
Guys, do you realize that Bray Wyatt should have been made about 4 or 5 years ago? And when Bray Wyatt character didn't go over, or they didn't make it go over, they came out with The Fiend. The Fiend was a great tribute to Bray Wyatt, and they didn't let that go over. I think this time around they learned from their mistakes, because when you really look at it, who is and who has been the one missed superstar of this generation that the people want to see? It is The Fiend. It is the Wyatts. If there was God willing, they said, okay, we'll bring back the Shield. But when you look at the Wyatts and the characters and everything, and Alexa Bliss joining the mix and doing that and doing an excellent job being creative, I think they're taking it slow. They're throwing different elements out. But I think this time around, they are going to make him. I could see him being the next Universal Champion. I could see him being the next Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, they're pushing him as a main eventer for sure. Oh, yeah.
I could see him being the next Heavyweight Champion, beating Roman Reigns. You know why? Because they're going to bring out all these spooks and characters. They're going to scare away, you know, the family. And who's going to be left there but Roman Reigns? So if everybody gets scared away and Paul Heyman's gone, the Usos are gone, the new Samoan is gone, and Sami Zayn is gobbled up, I wouldn't be surprised if Sami Zayn became a character in the Wyatts.
Remember when I was going off about people just like crapping on him, saying he can't work a match, he's always hurt. if I my memory serves me correct, like he had a pretty good initial run with the Wyatts. They feuded against the Shield, solid matches. The crowd was behind it. The feud with John Cena in a series of matches, people were behind it. He wrestled The Undertaker at WrestleMania at one of Taker's return matches after he lost to Brock Lesnar. And I thought he was doing pretty good. And I just don't understand that hate. That I don't know if it's hate or whatever it is, but I think the guy can go, man. I don't know. Just
let's wait and see, and let's not pass judgment. Like I said, you know, three strikes, you're out. I don't think they're going to strike out on this one. I think they're going to make this work. Because they have to make it work.
Yeah, and again, it's a new regime, right? I mean, there's a lot of people involved with this new regime and people coming back. So we will have to see what happens. But I just wanted to address that because he's letting his real self at least come through the character more now than ever. And usually fans connect with that better. So Vito, stay tuned, as we always say. Okay. I think the rest of the show, it's going to be AEW related because there's always, like, you like the AEW botches account. And so let's just talk about the botch. It's not a botch because this happens in wrestling. Okay. Unfortunately, no matter how safe you work, injuries can happen. Concussions can happen. Tell me what happened exactly with Moxley and Adam Page. How did it get to the point of a concussion from a clothesline? And people that were watching as workers, wrestlers, think that Page was knocked out from the contact of the arm, not when his head hit the mat. Why, like, this stuff, Vito, it's a work, protect. I just cannot believe we're always talking about injuries. They stopped the match, had to take the bottom rope over. I do not believe this was a work. AEW can't create drama like this for no reason. What right. went wrong? Moxley is supposed to be that new leader. I know he probably felt bad about it, but Vito, they had 8 minutes to go in the show when this match was called because of a legit injury.
Guys, injuries happen just like in football. Accidents yeah. happen. But you know what? I'm going to take this a step back before I address the Moxley Adam Page thing. There was a match with Amber Moon.
Yeah,
now,
there was.
I posted
Athena,
it. I was on
the, just so everybody knows, it's Athena now, but yes.
Athena, okay. You talk about reckless and not caring and not giving a shit about an opponent. The way she treated that girl and kicked the shit out of her and the bumps that this girl took, being reckless, that was a direct stain on the AEW regime or how they let these wrestlers go. There's no room in the business to be like that on TV with somebody who's putting you over. Because let me tell you something. Back in the day, they all say jobbers or enhancement talent, but the guys who were putting you over could probably stretch half the dressing room because those are the guys who are the real workers. And if there was a go button, okay, half the people who were stars today wouldn't be stars. I'll give you an example. William Regal, Goldberg. Steve Regal didn't think he was an enhancement talent for Goldberg. He went out there and he proved to everybody Goldberg wasn't shit. Plain and simple. And if that thing would have, if it was a legit go thing, I think Mr. Regal would have won. You talk about guys like Bob Backlund, who are amateur wrestlers. You talk about the Iron Sheik, who's an amateur wrestler. Talk about Kurt Angle, who's an amateur wrestler, right? But then you talk about the other legit tough guys out there, like a Stan Hansen or Bruiser Brody, you know, Buzz Sawyer, or even a Hacksaw Jim Duggan, big rugged men. And I'm just naming a few guys. I'm just taking this out of context. When you get in a ring with these guys, it's on. I mean, like, they could do what they want. Like, you walk in there, and if you get out of line, they're gonna take the time to do what needs to be. Everybody looks at Johnny Rods, right? Now, Johnny Rods was my trainer, broke me into business. He's a Hall of Famer. But when you talk about legit shooters, he was the tester. His job was to test you, see if you were tough enough see if you're good enough, see if you can handle the pressure. That was his job, right? Then there were other guys who came along. Let's take Hardcore Holly. Now, Hardcore Holly was rough on the young guys, but if you got past him, you go okay. You know what I'm saying? Let's take Skull Von Crush. Just for shits and giggles, let's do that. We have been watching a bunch of DVDs, and we've been putting matches up because I have the whole library from Rob Feinstein of all the house shows. And you watch my wrestling from there, you've seen some of the best mat wrestling against a guy like Sabu, who nobody thought can wrestle, but I know he could wrestle. So I said, okay, let's go to the mat. And you saw, everybody says, Vito did jobs. Skull Von Crush did jobs. Yeah, but Skull Von Crush might have put people over, but he was no slouch in the ring. And if he wanted to turn it up a notch, I could, and I could back it up. Right? When you're talking today, there's no regular enhancement people who are testers or the jobbers of the company. There's no tough competitors. That's what the Vince McMahon said, tough competitors. Right?
Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler. Let's look at the Brooklyn Brawler, right? Brooklyn Brawler has been around for a long time, and that guy never, ever says, I'm a Hall of Famer. I deserve any credit. You know what? He was a wrestler like I was. He went out there. He did the job. He went home. He did his job. When you got a guy like Barry Horowitz, Bret Hart says, I should be in a Hall of Fame. If Bret Hart says, go by the Brooklyn Bridge, then jump off it, are you going to do that and put it on Facebook, jackass? That is one of the things that gets me so mad. Barry Horowitz says he should be in the Hall of Fame. For what? Because he says he's a wrestler. I'm a wrestler. I've been 10 times the wrestler that Barry Horowitz was. Do anybody ever hear me say, Skull Von Crush, Big Vito, Vito and a Giant, deserves to be in a Hall of Fame? Never once. When you're a jock sniffer and you're an athletic supporter and you didn't believe in your own self, you don't have to, you brag about it. You don't have, when you are confident in who you are, you don't have to say nothing. People just recognize you as the man. What did Barry Horowitz do? He put guys over. Hey, great, thank you very much. That was your job. But when he says, and he goes on Facebook and he says this, it's just, are you fucking kidding me? What is, if you had to compare Skull Von Crush, Mick Foley was a job guy. Did everybody forget that? Put guys over. It's in Wikipedia who's the best job guy around. Skull Von Crush, Mick Foley. And where did those guys go? They went from here to here. Where did Barry Horowitz go? He stayed here.
We got to put Al Snow up there with you guys, by the way.
But Al Snow did something in the business.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to explain. And if you stay status quo this way, right? Jim Powers was a great wrestler, right? He was with Paul Roma, good tag team, Tito Santana. He did a hell of a lot in his career. Never hear a peep from him. And he's one of the better enhancement guy, and he's a guy who taught me. SD Jones, a guy who taught me. Cousin Luke, someone taught me. Johnny Rods taught me. Ted Petty taught me. And you got these guys going out there because Bret Hart says we should take Goldberg out of the Hall of Fame and I should go in his spot. Get a hold of yourself.
So, to make this connect, who teaches Moxley and Adam Page?
Guys, I'm going to say this. Accidents happen in the ring. I don't think it was anything blatant. Sometimes things happen. You remember when Paige got the kick in her back and it took her out? Was that intentional? That was not intentional, not one bit, right? When
Sasha Banks did it, and I don't think she had a track record of injuring people.
No, not at all. When John Cena had his nose broken from Rollins, right? Was that an accident or was it done on purpose? When Nakamura first came on the scene and he suplexed Cena on his head, was that an accident or was it done on purpose? Things happen. Yeah. You, okay, here's another thing. What about Goldberg and The Undertaker? Do you think Goldberg wanted to drop The Undertaker on his head?
Nope.
Not at all. Accidents happen. This was an accident that happened. The great thing about it is that John Moxley reacted and said, time out. We need to get him some help. That was the best part of the whole show. He took care of his fellow worker. Whether they had heat, whether who's in charge or whatever, he took the time to take care of his work. That means he gets a gold star. That means he's a pro's pro. He just became head and shoulders above everybody else because he didn't keep going through his match and doing a bunch of spots like a bunch of spot monkeys.
Yep.
So I think I answered your question.
Yeah.
And accidents happen.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, I think the unfortunate thing is there's been a lot of injuries in wrestling that maybe could have been prevented. And anytime something like that, which was a clear accident, happens, you start thinking, why aren't these guys working safer? Because of the amount of injuries we hear about and we see from video footage on the internet.
Guys, so, let's even take it back a few more years, okay? Let's go to Steve Austin and Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Owen Hart is a technician. Owen Hart was a good wrestler. Do you think he intended to hurt Steve Austin? No, not at all. When Kurt Angle broke his neck during a wrestling match, do you think the guy tried to break the neck of an Olympic gold medalist? No. You could be obvious when you see it's a shoot and you can see when it's not. This was not. I watched the match.
Go ahead. Finish. Well, I was going to say, what about the Lesnar-Orton ordeal? Remember, right to the head?
Yeah. All right, let's take the Lesnar-Orton thing, right? Yeah. What it looked like on TV, hindsight says that was no work. It was intentional. To listen to the back, to cover things up, when Jericho went after Lesnar, be professional. This is what we scripted. Now, I never in all my years of wrestling ever heard of, hey, let him crack your head open and give you a bunch of stitches.
Yeah.
So that you could say was blatant. But Brock Lesnar, when you look at Brock Lesnar, hindsight. Brock Lesnar takes care of more guys in that ring and does more bumping for the guys today.
That's true.
Than most of the guys in the business. And do you think he knows he's a pro's pro because he takes care of everybody in there? And when you see when things need to get rough, just like when Strowman need him in the friggin' face, he gave him a right hand, lighten up. Yeah. How many people who wrestlers who are pros at this stuff gave somebody a wake-up shot? Hey, lighten up. I've done it many times, but I never took liberties and beat up somebody. Well, maybe I did, but not in my young days. Hold on. In my young days, okay, I did rough a couple guys up because they tried to be rough with me.
Yeah.
But as I went along.
Well, they call that the receipts, right?
Hey, listen, it's something getting something back.
Yeah.
But here's a story, right? I'm wrestling for the Savaldis in the IWCCW. We're at a show in Brooklyn, New York. Hugh Morris and the Bushwhackers are up top with SD Jones. So Mr. Savaldi comes over to Vito. Kid, come over here, kid. Hey, listen, we got this guy from Japan, and we want you to put him over. It's a big opportunity for you. I said, I got to put this guy up. Yeah, thank you very much. There's a way to go. So the Japanese guy didn't know a stick of his first trip to the U.S. He knees me in the face, blatant knee, almost broke my nose. I lit this guy up. I beat the living piss out of him, right? When I told you clotheslines on while he was on the mat, picking him up and clothes and just beat. And then when the match was finished, I put him on top and threw him off, walked out of the ring. the Bushwhackers, and you, I said, oh my God, what did you do? I said, you see him knee me in the face? Well, kid, I guess you're not going to Japan. You just fucked up our deal. 2 weeks later, I'm wrestling Fujinami in Johnny Rogers' gym.
Yep.
So you tell me what's what. You know what I mean? You protect yourself, and you do, you know, and you do that, and you share the business. There's no room in our business for anybody to be a roughneck. It's always casualties. John Moxley and the AEW did right in this situation. Give them a thumbs up because that was the proper protocol to take care of their wrestler.
Well said. Hey, and we got one more topic. We're going to talk about good old CM Punk. Okay, so Vito, let's figure this out.
Go ahead.
The rumors, and they're rumors, right? Meltzer, I think Wade Keller from The Torch suggested this a month ago. Now Meltzer says it. Now it's gospel throughout the interweb that AEW and Punk are working on a buyout of his contract so he can go about his merry way. I've heard things, the reason why it's snagged up because he's got a no-fire clause, allegedly, or it could be the no-compete clause. That's where I stopped and I said, I had to think about this. It's now, these are all rumors, but just say they're actually trying to buy this contract out because Tony Khan wants to bring the EVPs back. Punk's gone. Complete big botch by Tony Khan. Why would the no-compete clause be such a big deal? Unless, is it possible, with Vince McMahon gone, and we know Triple H and Punk had their little thing, but they still did business, right? Punk didn't walk. Punk walked out after he had his run, right? He walked out right, making good money because he was burnt out. He was beat up, yada, 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 right? Could they do business? Could these two people be professional and Punk goes back? And I know he was fired on his wedding day. The doctor's gone, no longer works for WWE, that the big issues were around that Punk said screwed him over. What's your take here? Because I'm telling you what, man, business is business, and Triple H is in charge, and he wants shock value. I could see it happening. That's all I wanted to say. Could you see it happening?
What shock value and what good would CM Punk be doing the WWE to go back now after his AEW run was a fiasco in so many ways?
First, he made his money. Fiasco, you mean the end of it? Because I don't think it was a fiasco up until those last, since the Adam Page stuff and the EVP stuff happened. Right, he had a pretty good run up until that last couple of months. So I wouldn't call it a fiasco. The whole thing.
Would you say his arrival in wrestling, his comeback in wrestling, was a success?
It was, because even though it didn't get him to that Rock Austin level AEW, it still brought them up. Like they didn't do any $1 million gate, like tease that until he came about. The Rampage episode that he wasn't even advertised for, it was speculation, was the highest Rampage. You know what I mean? There are factors that said that he did move the needle. Unfortunately, we know how Tony Khan ran it, and I think it fizzled out and Punk got frustrated. Now, I'm not saying he's that WWE draw, but he could be that complimentary piece to get AEW fans. And you know, that, I think that's what it's all about. Triple H is kind of ticked that when he was out sick, Vince took his NXT away. Well, what happened? His NXT couldn't beat Dynamite in the ratings, albeit developmental. I think Triple H is wanting to, Cody's back. Dude, I'm telling you, man, this could be a war here. He wants to beat AEW until it's gone, like Vince beat WCW. That's what I think.
Guys,
Punk's a big piece.
I don't think beating AEW is a coup, because the WWE is still the WWE, if AEW is here or not. WWE is going to be here for years to come. AEW, we don't know if they're making next year, because their ratings aren't that good. The wrestling is not very good. Do you want to know my thoughts? I mean, yeah. If CM Punk does stay, it'll be good. If he does leave, they're going to pay him a shitload of money not to wrestle anymore. And they're going to say, okay, we're going to pay you $10 million, but you can't go back to the WWE.
And he could very well still stay in AEW. I mean, this is speculation. Like,
right.
He could be out of wrestling completely. He could stay in AEW and the small chance shock the world and go back to WWE, because I could see Triple H doing that. I really could.
If he comes back and he's successful, and maybe it's not the old way of doing things, because AEW kind of is like wild style now, and they don't follow the old ways, and CM Punk was brought up in the same way I was, in tradition and the way it's supposed to be. So if he does go back to WWE and it works, hey, I can see his wife going with him for sure. But him staying here, no compete card, I think the whole thing just turned out to be a mess. I think that...
I could just see the first WrestleMania under Triple H's realm. Like, could you imagine if they agreed to it, night one? Well, if night two would be if they get Rock Roman, right? Night one, end the show with CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes. And I know you don't like, I know it, but the fact that those were the two AEW guys that were supposed to make that AEW a difference, and they ended up back in WWE, and they're making something of them. Remember, you've said Cody's failed and failed and failed and failed. Well, when they brought him back, he was over. He got hurt. But he got over somehow. I don't know if it was just the...
He brought up his daddy. Did we forget this?
But it was over. The fans were into it. I mean, he was more over that run than he was in all those gimmicks in his original WWE run. Like, you got to admit that.
Here's another thing, right? DX had the reunion.
They did.
We didn't cover this. Billy Gunn was a big part of DX. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it,
yeah,
he should have been on that reunion show. There was some bullshit contracting about AEW, Tony Khan. Well, if you do this, we won't let you do this. And how about respect the guy's career? He went back for one night. He shows up on thing. He only brings you over, viewers, to see what the AEW will do with that run.
Say if free promotion.
Free promotion, right? So if he goes back with DX, comes over, and all of a sudden, he's got his own DX. He's got, who says they can't have the sticks, the green sticks? Who says they can't do this? It's not copywritten stuff. Who says he doesn't bring it over? If he brings the flow of WWE, Billy Gunn has a special announcement. You don't think people would have tuned in? They would have had 2 million viewers, because I wanted to see Shawn Michaels and all the boys. Why X-Pac couldn't go to AEW? Why couldn't what's his name? Road Dogg go to AEW.
Well, he's in the office again.
Okay, I understand. But what if there's going to be a trade? Hey, do you mind if we take X-Pac and Road Dogg and we bring them over? You can have Billy Gunn and we can bring them over for a night. Cross promotion. Nice and easy peasy, right?
Oh, they did ECW back in the day.
But that's what the business, and everybody wants to like be number one instead of sharing the wealth. And that's what killed the wrestling business, because Vince McMahon wanted to monopolize the business. And what are we wanting? To watch AEW, to watch ECW reruns, to watch WCW reruns, to watch Impact reruns. Are we looking to watch WWE reruns? No.
Some people might be, but not me.
You want to know what I told
you? I mean, Vito on a dress, I'll go back and watch those.
We'll go back and watch that, but that was good. But you know what? I was telling my Miss Noel, I says, we were bored. I says, let's watch my favorite wrestling match. She goes, what do you want to watch? Rock Hogan from WrestleMania. She goes, you want to watch? I said, that is my favorite match, because the crowd was so invested in it, right? And if Hogan would have won, he would have got a year's run, and The Rock could have came back a year later and beat him.
They could have got too, like they did Cena Rock. Remember, they basically did that. Yeah,
exactly. But they wanted to make Rock the champion then. They didn't want to give Hogan any more play. But the fans were in such a frenzy. If Hogan would have won, the place would have erupted and went berserk. Because it's Hulk Hogan. Yep. That was wrestling. He was wrestling. The Rock was the up-and-coming wrestling.
Can't say Hogan doesn't ever put people over. I mean, in that same building, he did Warrior and then Rock 20 years later. Yeah.
So if he did Warrior, Rock, and when he was in WCW, did he put over Goldberg?
Yeah.
Did he wrestle with the Giant? Did he wrestle with Flair? Did he wrestle with everybody over there?
He put Luger over for the title, remember?
Yeah. So, I mean, what everybody knocks Hogan, but not everybody could be Hulk Hogan. He's special. I always said there's special people. There's the top guys, and then there's the special guys. But when you're special like that, you definitely, you know, take it with you.
That's all I got, Vito. Anything That's you want to say? That's all I got, too. In closing?
No, we covered it. It was great to be back. Great to talk some wrestling with my man, Virtue. You know, make sure you turn into Mr. Jago tomorrow. We're going to talk some sports. I know we have a lot to talk about sports-wise. Congratulations to the Guardians on having a fabulous playoff. They did excellent. I thought they gave the Yankees everything they can handle.
And the Astros gave the Yankees everything they can handle. All right. Well, yeah, you guys are going to cover that on MLB. So.
Yes, we will.
Cool. Be sure to follow Vito on Twitter at TheBigVitoBrand. Follow me if you'd like at NoDQ_Virtue. For Big Vito LaGrasso, I am Virtue, and this has been Getting Color right here on the Big Vito Brand. And you know what? We will be back again, and we will do this again next time. Thanks for watching and listening. Good night.
Catch the Big Vito Brand on Twitch every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern.